There is no doubt that God loves us. We've talked about that this morning already when we ate the Lord's Supper. We certainly think back to the sacrifice of our Father, the giving of His Son, Jesus' willingness to die for our sins. There certainly should not be any doubt in anyone's mind at all about how much God loves us and cares for us and wants to save us. The question has always been, I believe, how does God do that? Not that God cannot do or save us in any shape, form, or fashion He desires. But the question has always been, how does He do that? Do I have to do anything? Or is it all on God? So there's been lots of questions about that through the years and lots of debates and study. And you have all the various religious groups that there are that yet believe in the love of God and the salvation of God, but just cannot come to understand alike the idea of how God does that. Well, when we stop to consider the idea of salvation, I really want to talk to us a little bit about, are we saved by works? That seemingly is one of the critical points when we talk about salvation. So there are those that would read Ephesians 2, and I'm just giving a portion of that passage, and most of you should be well familiar with that whole text. But Paul said, not as a result of works. So people read that passage and they say, well, you know, God can save us, but God doesn't save us by works. More specifically, they're saying that you don't have to be baptized to be saved because baptism is a work. Most everyone that I know, when talking about the idea of works, they really do believe that a person should try to do good and not do bad. And I mean, that's pretty evident among almost all Christian, quote, peoples. But then we read in James, a man is justified by works. Well, to many people, those seem contradictory statements. And so for many, it's hard to justify. It's hard to look at those two passages and come to understand what is right, what we must do. How does God save us? I remember in Psalms 119 and verse 160, the psalmist said, the sum of thy word is truth. I think that for all of us, there is a challenge, regardless of the topic, to look at the Bible, all that God has said about it, and then draw our conclusions from the evidence presented. And I would like to suggest that in order to be able to do that, that would take us about a 4-hour sermon to look at everything. It's already 20 till, and I've only got 20 minutes to be done by 11. So I'm going to have to hurry with that 4-hour sermon. So I'll give you just a few passages to demonstrate what the Bible says, I believe, in summation, about whether or not we are saved by works or we're not saved by works. So let's take a look at that. So many want to make the argument that Paul and James don't agree, and from that concept alone, there have been many that discredit the Bible as not being the truth. So how do we resolve that? Well, first of all, there are definitely works that are discussed in the Bible that don't save. And it's very clear. For instance, evil works aren't going to save you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul made that clear when he says, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds." I don't really think there's much argument there. I think most everyone understands that if you go out and do evil, you steal, you lie, you cheat, you murder, that's not going to get you to heaven. All right? So we're pretty clear on that. So that's a bad work. Works of darkness is another expression in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. "And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds or works of darkness, but instead even expose them." You'll notice that depending on your translation, King James, New King James, New American Standard, etc., some versions may have in the English translation deeds, some may say works, talking about the same kind of thing. But yet Paul, again, in Ephesians 5, he lists the idea that there are deeds or works of darkness. Those are not going to get you to heaven. Then we consider the idea of the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. "Quite familiar with these, the deeds or the works of the flesh are evident, which are..." Then he lists a number of things. Now again, if someone says, "Well, I believe God's going to save us, and I don't believe works is going to save us," with that we can heartily say amen. Works are not going to save you if they're works of the flesh. If you're talking about works, no, those are not going to save you. Those are not going to get you to heaven. Even in Matthew chapter 7, our Lord talked about those lawless religious works. That's the passage that most are familiar with, where Jesus talks about, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Remember that passage? But if you go on and read, "But many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? I will then declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So someone could read that and say, "See there? These people were doing miraculous things, and those works didn't save them." Well, I think that's pretty obvious. Jesus condemns these folks that worked these works, even miracles. Now, we have to concede this idea, I believe, that someone that performed a real miracle had to be doing that through the power of God. I think you have to concede that. Anyone performing a miracle, the miracle was of God. So how then did Jesus condemn that? One way is, in the context, he says you were workers of iniquity, or the New American Standard says you practice lawlessness. So somehow or another, the idea of iniquity is without law. Some miracle workers were using miraculous gifts, but they were not practicing truth. Somehow or another. I don't know all that maybe needs to be known about that passage. I'm going to connect to, I think, a dot when we look at another point here in just a second. But to say that works alone save, they don't. Because even people that were able to perform miraculous gifts, Jesus condemned them. So if you hear someone say, "Well, we're not saved by works," well, you could say, "Well, that's true. I remember over Matthew 7, those miraculous works didn't even save some people." So we can agree with that. But then, when we look at the idea of dead works, Hebrews 6 and verse 1 is an interesting passage, because the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Contextually there, these works are the works of the old law. So if someone again says, "Well, I think we can be saved, we can go to heaven, but it's not going to be in regards to any works that we do." Amen. I agree with that. If you're talking about working the works of the old law. That's what Hebrews 6 and verse 1 says. Galatians 2 and verse 16 talks about that very same thing. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul over and over again explains and says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus." There he presents a contrast for us that we have to stop and investigate a little bit closer. He's talking about works. But he's talking about the works of the law versus faith in Christ. Now, for it to be apples to apples, faith has to be something that works. For that analogy to be apples to apples. But Paul says we're not saved by the works of the law, that is the old law. But we are saved by faith. In 1 Corinthians 13, I think probably is the correct connection with the idea of Matthew 7 when Jesus talked about those that perform miracles. I think how they did that in the regards to without law was without the law of the love of God. They were performing miracles for some other reason rather than God's love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul talks about speaking with the tongues of men and angels and do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Verse 2. And if I have the gift of prophecy, know all mystery and all knowledge. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Here we see not only miraculous things, but even things that a disciple would do. Even give themselves in the most extreme way of sacrificing themselves. Paul says, if you're not doing that out of love, it profits you nothing. Did you know that the answer to the question is, are we saved by works? No, if it's not done out of love. So we have to concede some things that the Bible does say. Here's the problem. Lots of folks look at those kinds of passages and they believe that's all the Bible says. So therefore, they want to clump in the idea of, do you have to go to church? Do you have to read your Bible? Now, most people are going to say, yeah, you ought to go to church. Yeah, you ought to read your Bible. But do you have to be baptized? Nope. That's a work. We're not saved by works. Be careful. Be careful. Let's study a little closer. There are works necessary for salvation. There most definitely are. And if we're honest, if we have an honest heart and we're willing to look at the Bible completely, and the sum of thy word is truth, let's look at all the evidence. There are good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 makes it very clear that there are good works. The Bible presents those to us. All Scripture, he says, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, or training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I guess the real question kind of boils down to this. Do you really believe that a person can be a disciple of Christ and not do good works? Doesn't the very definition of disciple suggest doing good works? Then will those good works save you? What if you're a good disciple and you have no good works? Would that save you? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 is, to me, a critical passage whenever you're talking or studying with anyone about this concept. Paul says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." We are created as disciples of the Lord for good works. So if we're created and then we don't do good works, is that bad? Well, if we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, are we saved because we're doing what a disciple does? There are works of faith. And really, most people don't connect those kinds of terms. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul does. He says, "Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love." Did you know that faith is a work? That's just what Paul said. Well, then in Galatians 5 and verse 6, he says basically the same thing. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 6. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love." Did you know love is a work? Now, if I'm going to make the broad statement and say, I believe Jesus loves me, I believe God is going to save me, but I don't believe I have to do any works in order to go to heaven, is missing a very powerful, powerful point about faith and love being works. Do you have to have faith to go to heaven? Most people say yes. Most people will say yes. Regardless of the denominational Christian view, they will say yes. And I'm going to step out on a limb here, and I'm going to say all of them is going to say you must love too. They'll agree to that. Those are works. So if you go to heaven because of faith and of love, you are being saved by works. Does that make sense? That's what the Bible says. In fact, we'll be judged by our works. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, "For God will bring every work into judgment," but works don't matter. We're not saved by works. We're saved by the grace of God. "Including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Someone might say, if that whether good or evil was not there, they say, well, he's just talking about the bad ones. You'll be judged for the bad ones. You'll not be saved by the good ones. That is not what that text says. Well, somebody says, that's just the Old Testament. We don't live by the Old Testament. Well, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10... his old brother in Kentucky used to say, says almost per exactly the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Notice what the text says. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds or works in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Well, why judge the good works if they don't count? You know what? Good works do count. If you stand before God and you ain't got any, you're in a heap of trouble. And if you stand before God and you got a lot of bad works, you're in a heap of trouble. Works are very important. Sometimes we make statements that are not per exactly true. We need to be careful about that. So are we saved by works? Paul said, not as a result of works. So I'm going to go with what Paul says. But what did he say? Contextually, he's talking about the Old Testament law or any man-made works. Be honest and look at the context. That's what he's talking about. Things can be taken out of context. You can say something and someone take that out of context and make you say something you didn't say. That happens. That's being dishonest. James said a man is justified by works. Is that true? There have been some religious scholars in the denominational world that don't even like the book of James because of chapter 2. This, contextually, is talking about the works of faith, of which Abraham was a great example. So when you look at these two passages, Paul and James agree. When you put together all that God said about works, that is about as concise as I can put it in 20 minutes. Is there more about it? Yes. Can you study some more on it? Absolutely. Should you? Yes. Because the majority of people that you run into in the religious world that are good, quote, Christian people, will argue till the cows come home about this point. All with the goal of trying to stay out of that water. So are you saved? How did you get that way? Well, I don't believe in works. Really? Well, faith is one work. And without faith, Hebrews 11 says, it's impossible to please Him. If you don't have the mental gymnastic work of faith to believe in God and to do His will, you are not going to heaven. Now, I didn't make that up. That ain't in the Church of Christ, you know, doctrinal book. That's out of the Bible. You need to repent. Most denominational folks agree with that. But that's a work. You need to confess Jesus is the Son of God. Most denominational folks say that. It's a work. You need to be baptized. Nope, not going to be baptized. Not getting in that water. Not necessary. You need to be faithful the rest of your life. That's a work. The rest of your life serving God is a work. It's deeds. It's what you do. And if you choose not to do anything else the rest of your life because you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you believe works don't save, you're going to be lost. Because Jesus commanded us to be faithful and to do His will the rest of your life. That's a work. Are you still saved by the grace of God? Amen. Are you saved by the mercy of God? Yes. Are we saved by the love of God? Yes. But if you wind up being a knot on a log and just sit there and don't do anything ever, you are going to be lost. God's love is extended to you today. Take advantage of it. Get up off of the stump and serve the Lord and do His will. Well, that's what I come to tell you. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. If we can help you obey Christ in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?